One of the most sensitive areas in all of our lives is our sexuality. Thoughts we have, things we've seen, things we've done, and often our sexuality is wrapped in shame, often in guilt, sometimes accurately and often inaccurately. God does not want you to live with shame, and He wants you to celebrate who He made you. Stay with me today as I share a story of a close friend delivered out of the shame of sexual immorality.
Welcome to this edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge is an international teaching and discipleship ministry featuring the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Drewy, and in this program, Chip continues a message he began on our last broadcast. Now, this is a teaching you really need to hear from the beginning. So if you missed it, let me encourage you to back up and listen to that one first. Easily done on the app. Or maybe later today, go to livingontheedge.org and find No More Shame Part 1 on the Broadcasts tab. Now let's join Chip for Part 2 of his message from John Chapter 8.
Second thing, though, is that I've been around the block in churches, too, and there's a pretty significant reason why a lot of people don't go public and don't ever deal with the things that need to be dealt with. I was speaking to a friend, getting to know each other really, really well, and part of his history, he was in full-time ministry. He had an affair that went on for a significant amount of time. He lost his wife, and he lived in that situation. He lived with the lie. He lived with the pain. He lived with all the things. There's like these two forces, and one pulls at you so strong of what you're experiencing in the sexual sin, and the other pulls at you. You know this is right, and you want to confess. You want to make it right with God. And he said, I so wanted to do this, but honestly, I thought God would forgive me, but I just wasn't very sure about the church. I just didn't know how I'd be, you know, received. I just thought, I don't know that I want to go there. I got an email from Kendall, and she shared with me a little bit more of their journey. And I will tell you that Dave and Kendall's journey may be in the top 1% of the most wonderful moments I've ever had in ministry in my life, of seeing the body of Christ act and respond in the beauty and the power that God calls us to, and see a man and a woman courageously deal with pain and be completely restored. I want to share a bit of what she shared with me. And I want you to listen very carefully, because here's what I know. 50% of the men in this room are involved in pornography right now. About 30 or 35% of 18 to 30-year-olds are currently sleeping together or living together, who are born-again Christians. And by the way, it's not restricted to them. That's just where we have the stats. Sexual sin is epidemic in our culture, and it's now epidemic inside the church. And I think lots of people's souls are stuck. But I want you to hear the inward journey. Kendall writes, the night Dave shared with me about his unfaithfulness, he took full responsibility for his actions. He shared openly and honestly. In that moment, God brought clarity and perspective to my heart. I, too, had come to a place of deep despair and lack of trust in God after Dave's chronic pain diagnosis and the loss of our baby. Kendall says, God opened my eyes to my pain as I looked at this man I'd known for 15 years, and I saw a man that was so broken and hurting, so desperate to get out of physical and emotional pain, so responsible for his actions, asking for forgiveness. All I could say is, God would not let me turn him away or reject him. I told him that I loved him and that I forgave him, and I would be willing to work through this with him. We talked a lot that night, and I knew immediately there would be significant consequences for his job. I knew he'd be resigning, and I also know he would need to do it publicly. I'd seen this done both well and very poorly in churches, but I believed our church would respond well to us. I wanted Dave to be able to take ownership of his behavior and then demonstrate in real life the things that we taught the high school ministry and claimed to believe. I was also in need of support, and I knew going somewhere else would be very difficult. Listen to this. I believe the people of our church who had already demonstrated their love and support over us over the last years would do the same things I believe they would see in Dave what I saw in him. The next week, Dave shared in front of the ministry in the high school that he'd crossed a sexual boundary and be resigning. I asked to go up so that we could pray with them for Dave and see the faces of those that we loved. And in a sense, it was our last opportunity to lead through how we responded to failure. The next weekend, an announcement was made, and Dave's letter was read to nearly 3,000 people in attendance in the weekend services. We didn't go to church that day, but the following Sunday, talk about courage. The following Sunday, they didn't run. They didn't hide. They didn't repress. They didn't try to make up for it. The following Sunday, we made our ways down the halls into the worship center as we'd done every week for the last 8 years. The first Sunday back, I was anxiously confident. I believed people would respond lovingly toward us, but I also knew it's hard to handle, and some people probably can't. I was so grateful for the families and friends that demonstrated their love for us that first week and the next couple of months and now years. People we had known for many years would see us across the worship center or down the hall, and they would come right up to us encouraging Dave and sharing their support and love for me and encouraging me to still meet with their students. And they just loved us without asking details or questions or judging us. Our friends protected us. They protected our privacy. They honored us in a way that I'll forever be grateful for. They continue to be people that we meet with on a regular basis for community and accountability. Their acts of kindness and love allowed us the opportunity to heal in our own time, in our own way, without shame and without embarrassment. Do you hear the hope? I've been a Christian since I was 12, and I've walked with God through some very difficult times. This is, listen carefully, God is going to ask those of you and those of us who are involved in sin, but specifically sexual sin, to come clean the way Dave did. And here's what you will experience from God. I've been through difficult times, but I have never experienced the intimacy and the gentle love of God in ways that I have in this season of my life. His presence has been so real, it's almost tangible. Through his word, his people, his creation, he's undeniably spoken into my life, gently meeting me and slowly walking me through deep places of pain and fear and shame and giving direction and clarity and hope and perspective. The process of obedient surrender has been slow and not without missteps and failures. But I see the trajectory of life is heading toward wholeness and intimacy in my relationship with God and with Dave. How does healing like this really occur? What's the process? How do you move from simply experiencing forgiveness and knowing in your heart you've asked God to forgive you? How do you get to where there's a level of courage that you can own some stuff and get some stuff in the open in the appropriate way with the appropriate people and be forgiven, but then be restored? To have your soul set free, to have the guilt and the depression. David sinned sexually, and for a year, no one knew about it. Psalm 32, you might jot it down, and some of you will read it and go, that's me. He said, when I was silent about my sin, it was oppressive. It was like being in a desert. Literally, as you read Psalm 32, here's a man who's clinically depressed. When we deny, when we shove down, when we repress stuff in our soul, especially sexual sin, it erodes your soul. It'll destroy you from the inside out. And finally, he's confronted, and in Psalm 51, you get this picture of a man who experiences the gentle intimacy, grace of God. Friday morning, as I was praying, God really tapped me on the shoulder. You know, my sermon's done. I've got it all set. It's in the folder. The notes are done. They're printed. And I really sense, at first, just a whisper from the Holy Spirit, Chip, this is so much bigger than you think. I want to heal people this weekend. I want this to be a weekend of liberation and freedom and no more shame. Do you realize how rare it is that an actual church body has done what the Bible says? Loved, supported, encouraged, doesn't judge, helped. Do you see this? This is an amazing picture. This is the hope that everyone wants. Chip, do you understand? It's not statistics. These are real people, and there's some of them that are depressed. There's some of them that are currently having an affair. There's some of them that are logged on to porn. There's some that are having homosexual issues and other heterosexual issues. There's others that it's about verbal stuff. There's others that are older and no one thinks, but boy, they have these lustful thoughts. And sexual sin is an addiction. You might be asking, why take this much time? I want to take this much time because this is a victory I want to celebrate. There really is hope. And I want to take this much time because when sexual sin has a hold of your soul, it not only does something very devastating to you, it impacts your relationships and it cuts you off from the grace and the power of God in significant ways. You won't be fruitful. You won't experience love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and gentleness. God will not use you even remotely like he wants to. He'll honor some gifts and honor his word. But there is no hope for the world out there until there's a revolution inside of the world in here. And so I want to talk to you about why sexual sin is so devastating and how to get out of it, okay? The research they've done, by the way, this isn't about, I'm going to try really hard one more time. Trying hard doesn't work. The studies they've done on those hooked on pornography, it is as addictive as cocaine, crack cocaine, or heroin. And when you study the brain of men and women who over a prolonged period of time who are watching and hooked on pornography, the changes in what happens in your brain are exactly the same. And therefore, what it does to your life, what it does to your thinking, what it does to your relationships, it's not some casual sin that doesn't have any impact on anyone else. Jesus is saying to you, neither do I condemn you, Grace. Go and sin no more. And the question is how? When the prodigal son came to his senses, he turned, and where'd he come? Home. I'm going to give you a little acronym that is just a quick way to know how to come home. The H is for honesty. Jot this down, okay? Just write this H-O-M-E, and I'm going to give you something very clear, and then I'm giving you a chance to act on it today. You might jot down Psalm 145:18. The Lord is near to those who call upon him, to those who call upon him in truth. God will listen to you. David would say in Psalm 51, God desires truth in the innermost being. Later he would say, if there was a way to earn my way back or make up for it or do some burnt offering, I would have done it. But the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. A broken spirit and contrite heart, oh God, you will not despise. If you'll get honest, and it's the first step. I mean, you'll experience God like never before. He'll give you the power. He'll take care of the future. Don't worry about what's going to happen or all the implications or will he understand, will she understand, what about this, what about that? Just get honest. It's painfully difficult to do. The O is for openness. You will not ever be freed from sexual sin until you get it out of the secret world. Secrets have power. Secrets destroy your life. That's why all through Scripture, the deeds of darkness. Jot down, if you would, 1 John, because I want you to look at these later. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. If we say we have fellowship with him, Jesus, and yet walk in the darkness, we lie, and the truth is not in us. But if we walk in the light, as even he himself is in the light, the blood of Jesus keeps on continuously freeing and forgiving us. You've got to get this out in the open. You got to get it out in the open. The M is for mentor. You will not do this alone. Jot down Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. If you know anyone who's been through a 12-step program, anyone who's gotten serious in realizing their weight issue or their sex or their alcoholism or their shopping, and they got really serious about it, what you realize is the root cause is never the symptom. And the only way you make progress is you get honest, then you get open, then you got to get with some people and you got to walk the journey. And you need the encouragement. Not like once a year. This isn't like, okay, I heard it. It's me and God. I'll start reading the Bible more. Wait a second. I've said this 44 times in the last 43 days. It won't work. You can't do this alone. And see, what keeps you from? What is it that keeps you from? I've had guys tell me, I've driven 30, 40, 50 miles to celebrate recovery or to different groups somewhere. Why? Because of the shame they feel that if someone knew. We got to get over that. The final E is for exit. You do not slide out of sexual sin. And jot down Matthew 5, 27 to 30. Jesus is talking about adultery. You have said, do not commit adultery. But I say to you, if you lust for a woman, you've committed adultery already with your heart. Long before psychology, Jesus is saying, everything starts with the mind. And then here's his application. Are you ready for this? He says, so how do you deal with this? How do you deal with what happens inside of a man or a woman's mind when there's lustful? He goes, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, poke it out. You're thinking, I'm glad I didn't go to that message. Well, let's, now wait a second. It's very clear he's not being literal, because watch this. If I cut off my right hand and my problem is stealing or some sort of sexual sin, I can actually do that with my left. And if I poke out my right eye, I can lust with my left. Do you know what he's saying here? The idiom of the day? Be as drastic as you need to be to deal with this as radically as you need to deal with it. Be as drastic as you need to be. So, some of you here are involved in an affair. Some it's physical, some it's emotional. Stop today. Exit. Those of you that are hooked on pornography, you need today to someone say, here's my phone, here's the TV, here's my computer, put a password on it that I don't know. I'm sending an email to the church, or I'm finding a program, or I'm going to go to a Christian. But today, you won't slide out of this. And here's the thing. In this window or this moment right now when we're together, as God speaks, if you choose and act and do it today, God will deliver. By Monday, 24 hours later, the probability of you actually obeying will probably drop about 75%. We are liars. We are deniers. And your soul will stay in prison. I'd like you to close your eyes if you would. And I just want you to hear Jesus saying, please come home. Please come home. Please come home. I want to forgive, restore, make you whole.
Chip will be right back with his application. But if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's message today is from his series, Jesus Unfiltered, Volume 2, Follow. Jesus Unfiltered is a study through the Gospel of John, exploring topics like, what does it mean to believe in Jesus? And what does it mean to follow Jesus? Now, those phrases mean different things to different people. So Chip goes right to the source to find out what Jesus would say if he were asked. Now, to check out all four volumes of Jesus Unfiltered, just visit us online at livingontheedge.org or tap Special Offers on the app. Well, Chip, just before you get to your application, I can see you want to jump in here.
As we study the Apostle John's teaching here through the gospel, I can, in the back of my mind, hear some of you saying, you know, Chip, this all sounds really wonderful, but you don't know me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've been. Boy, if you ever understood the terrible things, in other words, Jesus could never associate with someone like me. He could never really love me, never forgive me. And I want you to know, listen carefully, that is a lie from the pit of hell. The fact of the matter is no one is beyond the reach of Jesus' love.
But if you believe that lie, it'll keep you stuck. If you believe that lie, you'll never come to receive His grace. Or as a follower, if you believe that lie, you'll think you're a second-class citizen the rest of your life and never experience His joy and His power or be used by Him. Here's what I want you to know. The only way to break lies is with truth. And so what we've developed is what we call truth cards. For every chapter in the book of John, we have the lie outlined, and then we have the truth of that chapter to help you break free. Let me give you an example. For those who feel like you don't measure up, you're unworthy, the lie in chapter 4 is this: God could never accept me or use my life after all the terrible things I've done. It says it right on the card. And right below the card is a little stop sign, stop. And then you turn over the card, and the card says, Jesus wants to accept and use me. He forgave a woman who had 5 husbands and was currently living with a man so He could communicate His love through her to a whole city. Actually, that passage goes on to say He is seeking or pursuing those who would worship Him in spirit and in truth. If you want to be free of your past, trying hard doesn't work. The truth does. Let me encourage you. Get a copy of these truth cards. We'll give you all the information. In fact, get 2 or 3 copies. They're very inexpensive. And go through it with some friends or family. And here's what you'll experience. You'll experience the truth. And the truth will set you free.
Thanks, Chip. Well, the Jesus Unfiltered Truth Cards are available now while supplies last when you tap special offers or go to our website, livingontheedge.org. They're a set of 21 cards, like the ones Chip uses. Each card has a common lie or spiritual battle we all face. And on the flip side, it has a passage from the Gospel of John to help you renew your mind with the truth. Now, whether they're for you or someone else, order your set of Jesus Unfiltered Truth Cards and get free shipping by calling us at 1-888-333-6003, tapping special offers, or ordering online at livingontheedge.org. Well, now here's Chip with his application.
As we wrap up today's program, believe me, I understand that a lot of people are both uncomfortable and convicted, and some of you just yearning and hopeful. I hope the stats are completely wrong about men, that half of all the men in the church visit XXX websites at least once a month and have pornography addictions. But here's what I want to tell you. There is hope. I mean, I know so many men, I'm going to try. Let me go over that little acronym for you to get home. Home with God, home with your heart, home with the people that you love. The H is for honest. Just own your stuff. Just get real with God. He's not shocked. Tell Him and get real. 2 is open up. You have to tell someone. As scary as it is, you have to get the secret out of the bag and be able to get it on the table, because the enemy is holding you hostage. The M is for find a mentor. You need help. No one is going to break sexual addiction, or any addiction for that matter, on their own. And the E is exit. I mean, you literally have to make a dramatic, whether it's pornography, whether it's a illicit relationship, whether it's an affair. I mean, you just have to exit. And before you just feel overwhelmed with getting honest and, you know, opening up and finding a mentor and exiting, I just have to tell you of the scores and scores of men and women that I get to experience here, and I've had in my past, of people that have overcome pornography, people that have lived through the affair, who have reconciled. We've got a whole ministry of men in our church, and one is a friend that I talk to often, and he talks about how dark and how impossible that it was, and he thought there would never be hope. And you know, he found some men that he could get with. And then his wife started a ministry to women whose husbands are hooked on pornography. Here's what I want to tell you. If you'll be honest and take the first step, there is hope. This doesn't have to define or ruin your life.
Well, just before we close, we want you to know that as a staff, we ask the Lord to help you take whatever your next faith step is. And we'd love to hear how it's going. Would you take a minute to send us a note or give us a call? Either one is easy. Just send a quick note to chip@livingontheedge.org or give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. Well, until next time, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.